Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be exploring marginally relevant disordered systems.
Ooh.
It's a bit of a mouthful,
yeah.
But trust me, it's way more exciting than it sounds.
I agree.
You've given us a fascinating research paper called Universality in Marginally Relevant Disordered Systems, and we're going to unpack the key ideas for you.
Yeah, and it's a paper that dives into some pretty complex math.
Oh, yeah.
But the core concepts are surprisingly intuitive.
Okay, so let's set the stage.
Okay.
Imagine a perfectly ordered system, like a row of dominoes all lined up perfectly.
Okay.
Now introduce some disorder.
Uh-huh.
Like different sized dominoes, uneven spacing.
Right. That's what we mean by disorder in this context.
Okay.
It's that element of randomness that disrupts the perfect order.
Okay.
And what's fascinating is how different systems react to this disorder.
So some systems are super sensitive. Like even a tiny bit of disorder throws everything off.
Right.
Those are considered disorder relevant.
Uh-huh.
Others can handle a lot of disorder before they change their behavior.
Yeah. Those are disorder irrelevant.
Exactly. But then there's this third category, the marginally relevant systems,
right?
Which are kind of the Goldilocks of the bunch.
Okay.
They're not too sensitive, like not too robust, but just right in terms of how they react to disorder.
And that's where this paper comes in.
Right.
It examines three specific models that fall into this marginally relevant category.
Exactly.
What are these models all about?
Well, the first one is called the directed polymer model on a two-dimensional lattice.
Okay.
Imagine a path, the polymer, trying to navigate a random obstacle course.
Okay.
The randomness represents the disorder in the system.
So it's like the polymer is on a quest trying to find its way through this chaotic landscape.
Exactly.
Okay, what about the other two models?
The second is similar, a directed polymer model.
Okay.
But with long-range interactions.
Okay.
It's as if the polymer can now sense obstacles from further away.
Okay.
Which adds a whole new layer of complexity to its journey. Interesting. So it's not just reacting to what's immediately in front of it.
Right.
It's anticipating what's coming up ahead.
Exactly.
Okay, what about the third model?
The third one is called the pinning model.
Okay.
Picture the polymer again, but this time it's drawn to specific random points.
Okay.
Imagine it like a moth attracted to randomly placed lights.
Okay, I'm visualizing that.
Yeah.
It's like there are these points of attraction scattered throughout the system that are influencing the polymer's path.
Right, and this model, while seemingly simple, actually has some interesting connections to real-world phenomena.
Oh, really?
How DNA might bind to certain sites.
So we have these three very different models, but what makes them all marginally relevant?
Right.
It's not just a random label, right?
Absolutely not. What unites them is a specific mathematical condition called the marginal overlap condition.
Okay.
But think of it this way. You have two versions of the system, one with perfect order, one with disorder.
Okay. I'm following two domino setups.
Yeah.
One perfect, one chaotic.
Exactly. The marginal overlap is essentially a measure of how much of the system behaves the same in both versions.
Okay.
Even as the system grows larger.
Okay.
It's this overlap that determines whether a system falls into this marginally relevant category.
So it's like looking at the two domino setups and identifying the dominoes that fall the same way in both.
Yeah.
Regardless of the surrounding chaos.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And what makes these systems so fascinating is that they exist right on this edge between order and disorder.
Okay.
They're not completely dominated by either,
mm-hmm.
which leads to some really interesting behavior.
Now, this is where things start to get really interesting, right?
Right.
The paper unveils a surprising new kind of transition in these marginally relevant systems.
Traditionally, scientists thought of a straightforward transition.
Okay.
Weak disorder, where the system acts mostly ordered, to strong disorder, where the randomness takes over.
So a simple shift from order to chaos.
Right. But this research suggests it's not that simple, at least not in marginally relevant systems.
Mm.
Okay. They discovered a transition that happens within the weak disorder regime.
Okay.
It's like finding a hidden valley nestled within a mountain range.
Whoa, a transition within a transition.
Yeah.
So it's more nuanced than we previously thought.
Exactly. And to find this, the researchers meticulously tweaked the strength of the disorder and observed how the system responded. It was zooming in on that weak disorder region and discovering this unexpected change.
So it was hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
What were they looking at specifically to observe this transition?
They focused on something called the partition function.
Okay.
It's essentially a measure of all the possible states a system can be in.
Okay.
Think of it like a catalog of all the different ways those dominoes can fall.
Okay, so it's not just about one specific outcome.
Yeah.
But about understanding all the possibilities.
Precisely. And what they found is that in these marginally relevant cases, the partition function converges to a universal limit.
Oh, wow.
Regardless of which of the three models they were looking at.
Wait, so these three models, each with their unique features,
right,
all share this same fundamental property.
Exactly.
That's pretty remarkable. What does this universal limit actually look like?
It can take one of two forms.
Okay.
Either a log normal distribution or zero, depending on how strong the disorder is.
Okay.
It's like these seemingly different models are speaking the same language.
Wow.
When it comes to this fundamental property.
So there's this underlying structure connecting them, this hidden code governing their behavior.
Exactly.
That's wild, but how do they even arrive at these conclusions?
Right.
We're talking about some pretty heavy-duty math here, right?
It does get pretty complex.
Yeah.
But there are two key concepts that play a major role in their findings.
Okay.
Multiscale behavior and Gaussian chaos.
Okay. Multiscale behavior and Gaussian chaos.
Yes.
These sound intimidating, but I'm sure you can break them down for us.
Absolutely.
What's a multiscale behavior all about?
Think back to our dominoes. Imagine looking at them through a magnifying glass. Then a microscope, then an even more powerful microscope.
Okay.
At each level, you see a new layer of complexity, a new level of randomness.
So it's like zooming in and discovering hidden patterns within patterns,
mm-hmm.
each level revealing something new about the system's behavior.
Exactly. And that's what we mean by multi-scale behavior, this idea that the system exhibits different levels of complexity depending on the scale at which you're looking at it.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what about Gaussian chaos? What is that all about?
Gaussian chaos is a way of describing systems that have a massive, potentially infinite number of random variables.
Infinite random variables. That sounds, well, chaotic.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example?
Think of the stock market.
Okay.
You have countless stocks, each with its own random price fluctuations.
Okay.
But they all influence each other in complex ways.
Yeah.
Gaussian chaos provides a mathematical framework for understanding this intricate web of interactions.
Okay, so it's not just the individual randomness, it's how all these random elements interact that creates the chaos.
Precisely. And by using Gaussian chaos, the researchers were able to make sense of the complex behavior observed in these marginally relevant systems.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
We've explored the models, the surprising transition, the universal limit, and even touched on these mind-blowing concepts like multiscale behavior and Gaussian chaos.
Yeah.
Before we move on, do you have any closing thoughts for this part of our deep dive?
I think the key takeaway is that even though these models are quite abstract,
yeah,
the insights they provide can be applied to a wide range of real-world phenomena.
Okay.
And that's what we'll explore in the next part of our deep dive.
Great. We'll pick up right where we left off next time with part two of our deep dive into marginally relevant disordered systems.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the deep dive. Before the break, we were talking about multi-scale behavior and Gaussian chaos, which sound pretty complex.
Yeah, they do have a certain ring to them.
Yeah, can we unpack these ideas a bit further and see how they connect to the real world?
Absolutely. Let's start with multi-scale behavior. It's this idea that a system can look completely different depending on how closely you zoom in.
Okay.
Take a forest, for example, from afar. You see a sea of green, but as you get closer, you start to notice individual trees, then leaves, then the veins on the leaves. Yeah. Each level reveals a new layer of complexity.
So it's like looking through different lenses, each one giving you a new perspective on the same thing.
Exactly. And this idea applies to marginally relevant disordered systems as well. At one level, you might see a seemingly random collection of elements.
Okay.
But zoom in and you might find hidden structures and patterns that influence the system's overall behavior.
And how does Gaussian chaos fit into all of this?
Right. Gaussian chaos is a mathematical way of describing systems with a huge, often infinite number of random variables.
Okay.
Remember our stock market example? Imagine trying to model the price fluctuations of every single stock.
Yeah.
That's a lot of random variables.
It's starting to make more sense now.
Yeah.
So it's not just about the individual randomness of each stock, but about how all those random variables interact and influence each other.
Right. Gaussian chaos helps us understand how those interactions can lead to unexpected outcomes, even in systems that appear to be governed by relatively simple rules. It's like a mathematical model for the butterfly effect.
Fascinating. So how do these abstract mathematical concepts actually play out in the real world? Can you give us some concrete examples.
Absolutely. One area where these ideas are incredibly relevant is in material science. Think about polymers, those long chain-like molecules that make up everything from plastics to proteins. The way these chains fold and interact can be influenced by tiny imperfections or impurities, which can be thought of as disorder in the system.
A tiny flaw in the structure of a polymer could completely change its properties. That's kind of mind-blowing.
It is, and understanding how this disorder affects a material's properties is crucial for designing new materials with specific characteristics.
So by understanding marginally relevant disordered systems, scientists could develop even stronger and more durable plastics.
Exactly. Or imagine designing biocompatible materials for medical implants by understanding how these systems behave. We can create materials that are less likely to be rejected by the body.
It's amazing how these seemingly abstract mathematical models have such tangible, real-world implications.
And it's not just material science. These ideas can also be applied to fields like finance.
Okay, finance. This is where it gets really interesting for me. How do these marginally relevant disordered systems relate to the stock market?
Think about the stock market as a system with a huge number of interacting agents, each making decisions based on incomplete information and their own unique set of motivations. That's a lot of randomness, and those individual decisions can ripple through the market, leading to unexpected fluctuations and even crashes.
So you're saying that the tools used to understand these marginally relevant systems could potentially help us understand market volatility and maybe even predict crashes.
It's not about making precise predictions, but about developing a deeper understanding of the underlying dynamics of complex systems like the stock market. By applying the insights from these models, we can potentially create more robust risk management strategies and maybe even mitigate the impact of those inevitable market swings.
So it's not about eliminating risk, but about managing it more effectively.
Exactly. And that's just one example. These models have potential applications in understanding things like traffic flow in a city, the spread of infectious diseases, even the formation of galaxies.
That's incredible. We've gone from dominoes to galaxies. So what's the key takeaway for our listeners? Why should they care about these marginally relevant disordered systems?
I think the most important message is that the world is full of complex systems, and understanding how they behave is crucial for addressing some of the biggest challenges we face. These models provide us with a new set of tools for tackling these challenges and for appreciating the intricate interplay of order and chaos that shapes our world.
It sounds like there's still so much more to explore. What else can you tell us about the significance of the findings in this research? We're back for the final part of our deep dive into marginally relevant disordered systems. We've talked about the models, the math, and even touched on real-world applications.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. But before we wrap up, I'm curious about the bigger picture. What makes this research truly groundbreaking?
You know what stands out to me is the universality they uncovered.
Okay.
Finding that three distinct models, each with its own complexities, converge to the same limit.
Right.
That's a remarkable discovery.
It's like finding a hidden code that unlocks the secrets of multiple systems. But what does this universality imply for the average person who might not be a mathematician?
Right.
Why is this a big deal?
Well, it suggests a deeper underlying structure governing these systems, a common thread woven through the tapestry of randomness.
Okay.
It hints that despite their apparent differences, these systems share fundamental principles, a sort of universal language of disorder.
So by understanding this language, we gain a deeper understanding, not just of these specific models.
Right.
But potentially a whole class of systems that exhibit this delicate balance between order and chaos.
That's precisely it. It opens up new avenues of research and new ways of thinking about complex systems. You know, we can now ask questions like, what other systems might exhibit this universal behavior?
Right.
And can we use this knowledge to predict and control these systems?
So it's not just about the answers.
Right.
But about the new questions this research inspires. It's like this paper has opened a doorway to a whole new world of possibilities.
It's the beauty of scientific discovery.
Yeah.
Each finding is not just an endpoint, but a starting point for countless new explorations.
It's like we've climbed to the top of one mountain peak.
Yeah.
Only to discover a whole range of uncharted peaks on the horizon.
What a perfect analogy. Who knows what other hidden valleys and unexpected transitions we might find along the way?
Well, I think that's a great place to leave our listeners. At the foot of those uncharted peaks, ready to explore further, we've journeyed through the complex world of marginally relevant disordered systems.
We have.
Explored fascinating concepts and even touched on their real-world implications. But as always, there's so much more to discover.
If this deep dive has sparked your curiosity, I encourage you to delve deeper into the source material. You might be surprised at the connections you find and the insights you uncover.
This is the Deep Dive signing off. But remember, the exploration doesn't end here. Keep questioning, keep diving, and keep seeking those aha moments. Until next time.